The Fallen Outdoors is an all-veteran, all-volunteer organization that provides therapeutic outdoor activities to current and former military personnel at little to no cost. Their goal is to provide opportunities to our nation's heroes that they might not otherwise be able to participate in due to cost, ability, or availability. Their staffers are all volunteers that don't receive any kind of compensation for what they do, so 100% of all money made goes into their programs. So far, the Fallen Outdoors has provided help to over 200,000 veterans annually. They are currently operating throughout the United States with teams in over 40 states. And if you would like to make a difference and help our nation's heroes, you can learn more at thefallenoutdoors.org. Bow hunting. It's what we do. It's what drives us. For us, the bow hunting arena is as close to God's country as we can be. The only witnesses are the hunter and the hunted. It's what keeps us bonded together as the great conservationists we are. Backwoods Bowhunter gives us the platform to share our experiences with you, unscripted, in our own backwoods humorous style. It's our passion, it's our tradition, it's Backwoods Bowhunter. Enjoy the podcast.
This is the Great Gatsky from Crete, Illinois, and you're listening to Backwoods Bowhunter with Tim and Mike. You know what I mean?
I think my chair has finally found its groove in the floor. I don't move at all now.
It's found its location?
It's found its little spot. Nice. It's settled in nicely.
Very nice.
I don't worry about it no more.
It was very concerning in the beginning there.
I almost got launched through that wall.
You would slide away.
How many times, yeah.
You would talk and it would kind of get like,
yeah,
this, like a greased, you were saying,
like a greased up pig.
Yeah.
You just, good luck hanging on.
It was embarrassing. Yeah. I wasn't going to say it.
It's embarrassing.
Extremely.
You set that up for me. I had to.
Sorry.
Episode number 167 of the Backwoods Bowhunter podcast.
We're flying through the 60s. The 50s, I think, lasted about 5 months.
We didn't do last week, so we should be at 168, but we
should be.
Didn't pull that off.
Yeah. It was a little rough.
Yeah. Congratulations to your son for his golf accomplishment. That's pretty cool.
Yeah. Yeah. I was
proud of him.
I went and talked to the coach afterwards and I said, listen, I came here just, because I'm a dad and you do that for your kids. You know, I didn't expect anything. And I said, I was rather surprised that he qualified for state. It's his first tournament ever.
Yeah.
Yeah. I would have been way worse.
Yeah.
So now I officially can't ever go golfing with him.
You gave me his, or you didn't give it to me. I saw you post it, his, what he shot.
Yeah.
And I'm like, yeah, I would have shot that on like four holes, maybe. Maybe.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah, I think he ended up with a 46. And for me, that's about five holes.
Yeah.
So now that he can outgolf me, I just can't take him golfing ever again.
Yeah, right.
I'll drop him off. Have fun.
Or, hey, you go start on the back nine, and we'll start on the front nine, and you'll just be waiting on us when we get done.
Yeah, I'll cheat.
Oh, I cheat. I definitely cheat. There's a golf scramble that I do every year, and I don't think anybody from there really listens to this. So, if they do, uh-oh, whoops.
Uh-oh,
but, yeah, I cheat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
As you should.
I use mulligans, even though I didn't buy them. I do club lengths. You know, if I putt and I miss the putt, but it's within a club length, it went in the hole.
Yeah. Close enough.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And guess what?
What?
It just so happens by me cheating, we still get last place every year.
So, goes to show you.
So does it matter?
Yeah. No. At least you feel better at the end of the day. Yeah. Hey, I didn't completely tank, guys. We're in last place, but it's on you.
That's right.
Yeah.
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 That's all I got on that. turkey hunting. I think we came away from the weekend with two totally different mindsets.
I think. Yeah.
Yeah. So I'll go first and then I'll let you have your rail.
Okay.
And then we'll move on. I have always been a whitetail hunter first, turkey hunter maybe not even second, but I like to turkey hunt, but it's never been like in my DNA. Let's say that.
Yeah.
There, when I realized what a bird population looks like, because there was a lot more turkeys gobbling around there than what I get here, a lot. It got in my DNA a little bit. So I came away from it more fired up and passionate about turkey hunting than you did, and that's all I'll say.
Yeah.
Yeah. You, I believe, took the approach of, I'll never do that again.
I came away from it and realized I'm done. I'll probably get tags next year for Illinois, and if I can get out, I'll go out one day. If not, I won't. But yeah, it's definitely not for me. I'm not doing it no more. I'm done.
Hey, it is what it is.
Yeah, it's official.
It is what it is.
Hanging up the vest. I used it once. We're good. It'll be slightly used on Marketplace.
Well, buckle up and put your Crocs in four-wheel drive, because this is Tim. I think I'm Tim and you're Mike, right?
Yep.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So Tim and Mike here with the Backwoods Bowhunter Podcast. You can follow along as we describe the ups and downs of a whitetail hunting season, and here most recently some turkey hunting season, sharing those experiences with you, the listener. How do we do it?
With our ears.
Yeah, but we do it real and honest and unscripted.
Oh, yeah, like that too.
It's with our ears too, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Be sure and listen to the end of the through the end of the show, not to the end of the show, but through the end of the show, if you can tolerate long enough, because we got some shooter lit at walks. I got three or four of those this week. I'm excited about them. And what dry fires your bow? And I didn't really have one of those until you got here with my little phone call, and then that kind of aggravated the hell out of me, so I might just throw that in there.
Well, that's good. I had a dialed in and a dry fire.
Good deal.
Yeah.
Just so happens it's not running right now, because it just got here, maybe 10 minutes before you got here. But
nice.
The air conditioning unit for the Whiskey and Whitetails studio here has arrived.
Yeah, and we're blessed today. It's not that bad.
It's a little warm, but it's not.
Yeah.
It's not like we've dealt with before.
We've been in worse.
Yeah, 100%. Mm-hmm. So we will have, hopefully, if everything goes the way I'm told it's going to go, we will be able to sit in here in the summer and have air conditioning running and it not drown out the audio on these microphones.
Boy, how nice will that be?
Oh, man. I might just do like 5 podcasts a week just because of that.
I'll start coming every night.
Oh, geez.
Just slap right in the tits. Huge.
Maybe we'll just go back to the old system.
Oh.
Yeah.
You don't want me here 5 days a week.
Wow. You're stretching it. You know, if you were to say one, I'll give that to you. You're getting into like 2, 3, 4, 5. It's a stretch, you know, just a stretch. Yeah.
Fair enough.
Yeah. Hey, Backwoods Bowhunter can be found at backwoodsbowhunter.com, and we're on Facebook and Instagram at Backwoods Bowhunter Podcast. And our community page is known as Major League Bow Hunting, and that's over on the Facebooks as well. So jump on there and check that out if you so choose. And if you don't, you suck. I mean, that's
Todd put some pretty interesting stuff on there.
If it weren't for Todd, I don't think that page would exist.
No. He's the man.
That taxidermy mount was weird.
That was, I was like, I don't know if I like that one.
Yeah, I couldn't do it.
No.
Afraid not.
A little creepy.
As always, we bring you incredibly mediocre content in a completely meaningless way from the heart of Big Buck Country, right here in the Whiskey and Whitetails studio.
Hey, check out our friends, proud to support and use the Go to the Harvest. Over on the YouTubes or the Facebooks or the Instagrams. That's HARVST. The most recent video that got released was us.
It'll probably be their second biggest, or it'll be their new biggest, because our first one, I think, was their biggest.
Yeah. I did a paid ad on it. That way we can. They don't know that, so don't tell them.
I'm not going to say nothing.
Yeah, don't. But the most recent video is just a kind of an interview they did with you and I. On Thursday night?
Yeah.
Right. Uh-huh. The night we got there for the hunting weekend. What else? Fallen Outdoors is automatic. How our friends over at Titan Nutrition, if you're into the supplements and taking care of your body and making sure you have enough protein and vitamins and pre-workouts and superfoods and meal replacements and but whatever.
Yeah.
Go to titannutrition.net and you'll use discount code
Backwoods.
And that will give you 10% off of your order and free shipping. Both of those are important. So
yeah,
don't miss out on that.
Huge.
And
you'll get swole.
I have lost contact with our friends at Zone Protects over here for 10 or so days. So I'm not sure what the status there is. So I don't have a code for that right now.
Okay.
But hopefully that gets lined itself out. I know part of that is me. We were in Kentucky and I just...
Yeah.
I was in turkey mode and wasn't answering emails, you know, so... But in return, they haven't answered mine since we've been back. So I'm not sure what's up there. But
so now we're even.
Hopefully we have a code that will be coming soon for that because it's good stuff.
Great stuff.
21 weeks and 4 days until opening day bow season in the state of Illinois. The Backwoods Bowhunter Podcast is brought to you by Titan Nutrition. Titan Nutrition is one of the most trusted and respected supplement brands in the industry. They have a wide range of products, ranging from amazing proteins and vitamins to pre-workouts and superfoods. Backwoods Bowhunter is proud and excited to be partnering with such a great company. Go to their website at titannutrition.net and use discount code Backwoods at checkout to get 10% off of your order and free shipping. Take care of your health, get yourself dialed in, and you can begin by going to titannutrition.net using discount code Backwoods. You won't be disappointed.
151 days.
151.
I'm liking that.
Man, we can get under that 150 mark. Just little wins at a time, right?
Little bit.
Little wins. Blue Line Badass of the Week. I thought this was cool because this is something I used to do a little bit in my day. Williamson County, that's the county we live in, or I live in. You don't.
No, I don't.
Williamson County deputies, that's Williamson County, Illinois, aid in the 2024 Special Olympics. Heron High School, which again is the town I'm in, hosted over 20 events at the track and field complex for athletes with disabilities, and Williamson County deputies assisted and helped pass out awards and so forth. So things like that, you know, sometimes it's saving lives. Sometimes it's, you know, shooting a bad guy in the face. Sometimes it's whatever. I mean,
yeah.
Taking drugs off the street and the list goes on, but sometimes it's helping out with charities and doing things like that and helping kids in need. And
helping the community.
Yeah, absolutely. And so that's cool.
I was going to say, that's one of the things that they really get recognized, I feel like, the least about. Other than getting scrutinized for everything that they do.
Oh, yeah.
But when it comes to the stuff they do for their communities, you don't really ever hear anything about that.
Yeah.
Which is kind of crappy. But God forbid they, you know, take down a bad guy, someone's going to complain about the way they did it, who it was that they took down.
Oh yeah, they were too rough.
Yeah,
They should. You didn't give that guy enough. Tight. You didn't give that guy enough of a chance.
He only swung at you twice. Yeah. He wasn't really trying to hurt.
Why
you.
Why didn't you shoot him in the knee instead of in the chest?
Yeah.
I don't know how many people I've told that to. They're like, you could have shot him in the leg. Like, if it reaches the point that you have to use a firearm,
yeah,
that means you're in a deadly force situation.
Yeah.
Because if you're not in a deadly force situation, you're not using your firearm.
No.
There's no shooting it in the leg in a deadly force situation.
No.
You know.
I think you should be able to shoot him in the leg if they start running from you. Why the hell should you have to run? If you know he's in the wrong and he takes off running, obviously he knows he's in the wrong too. Shoot him in the leg. That should be completely legal.
There you go.
Then I would justify a shooting in the leg.
Mm-hmm. There you go.
Yeah, don't run from the cops. That's what you get.
We'll see you back here in about 30 seconds.
Yeah.
It's the mystical flight of the arrow traveling downrange, searching for its next target. The thrill of chasing the elusive whitetail buck as it slips through the tall oaks. That encounter with a bull elk that is so close, you can feel its breath. The hair that stands up on your neck when you hear that long-bearded turkey gobble in the spring. It's our passion, It's our tradition. It's Backwoods Bow Hunter. And now, it's time to go full draw in the backwoods.
You want to talk about the hunts at all, or are you ready to just completely erase that from your part of your life and just move on?
Oh, we can.
We don't have to. I mean, I don't really have it in my
outline or anything. I figured you may want to.
Nah, I mean.
Yeah. It's not so much for the hunting part. It's just the actual hunting.
I'm not sure I know what that means.
Yeah. Like, I didn't mind, you know, us moving around, walking up and down. I mean, that didn't bother me.
Yeah, I mean,
little eager on some of the moves, I think, you know, but I don't know hunting that well. But I think that...
little eager on some of the moves.
Yeah, like, you know, just, you know, hey, we're going here, we set up. 30 seconds later, all right, let's go over here type deal.
You know, okay.
I mean, I get that. I don't understand it as well. I like my deer hunt, and I like sitting up in a stand and let's go.
Waiting it out. So you like the Shannon approach where Shannon said, I'll sit in that muddy blind and I won't even call at him. I just sit there.
I would have liked it if I would have heard a bird.
In there.
Yeah. Even if I would have heard some birds and thought, okay, there's potential, it'd have been different.
Yeah.
You know? But see, the thing that got me is even when we heard birds gobble, I never once got that adrenaline rush. Never once.
Okay.
Like when you hear a deer, when you're out deer hunting, you hear crack, crack, your heart starts going. Whether you know it's a squirrel or not,
yeah,
it gets you pumping. Them birds, you know, gobbling all around us at one point, never once was my heart going, you know, getting excited. I was like,
see, I was fired up by that.
Yeah.
There's a couple of takeaways that I came from there versus here, and they're both eastern turkeys. I mean, it's the same species. Some things I noticed that were different. One is I felt like their birds, we talked about this already, but I felt like their birds gobbled a lot more than our birds do.
Oh, 100%, I believe.
For me to get a bird out here to gobble, I've got to shot call it. I've got to go out there with a crow call or an owl call or something, and then I can get them to do it. But to just... first light in the morning, get them gobbling on the roost.
Yeah.
At least for me, it doesn't happen here.
Yeah.
There may be properties around Southern Illinois that they do it. I'm not saying they don't. But on my property, nah. They're just not that vocal.
Yeah.
So that's a good thing. I think that's better there that they're that vocal, especially for pinpointing where the hell they're at. But
yeah.
What I think's better for here is I've always felt like, well, I shouldn't say always because we just did this, but I feel like I can get away with a little bit more movement here than you can there.
Yeah.
Because it's just the slightest twitch and, man, they're spooked and gone, you know, and I can get away with a little bit more here. And that might come down to the amount of coyotes and bobcats and things that they have there that I'm not necessarily dealing with here. I mean, we've got coyotes and we've got both of those, but
yeah, they've got more.
I don't feel like I have them to the level that they have them. So
yeah, they've got more predators out there.
Yeah. And so maybe those birds are a little bit more leery because of that.
Yeah.
There was a couple of takeaways that I took from it, but
yeah, I mean, as a hunter, I thought it was cool, you know, to hear them and stuff like that, but I just never once got that. You know, but I also never was in a position to where I was in where I could have ever taken a shot. You know what I mean?
Yeah. You were saying you never even saw them.
No.
And I have a theory on that. We can do that now or we can do it later. I had it in a shooter, let it walk, but
yeah.
So we'll circle back to that. My theory.
Okay.
Quick synopsis. We don't have to go into too much. We'll talk more whitetail today, you know, but quick synopsis. We hunted Friday morning at Shannon's place, or the farm that he has access to anyway. And there was a couple turkeys gobbling early that morning, but they were way back behind us on a different ridge. And they weren't coming to us. So we moved from there and we went to Tony's farm and we got on a bird there, a couple birds there. But they were henned up and
yeah,
the more we called at them, the further they got. So it just, yeah. they weren't interested, you know, they got the real thing. They're not going to work us, you know. Mm-mm. That was Friday. Saturday was split up, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, let's backtrack that. So it was Friday evening. We went to that place way up Mount Everest, right?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So we got up there, and I had an opportunity. We were working a bird. We couldn't see him,
mm-hmm.
but he was out there in that field where you and I hunted Sunday. He was out there, and he would gobble at us, but he wasn't coming to us. And as we're sitting there kind of hanging out, you know, waiting to see what happens, I was the only person that saw him. There was two toms that came from our right,
yeah.
and they were working their way towards that little path and heading up to where that other bird was at. And Tony was back behind us, and so I turned around and pointed out to him that there was mm-hmm. two toms right there, which was stupid. Why did I do that? You know what I mean?
yeah.
I could have popped one of them in the head right there instead yeah. of taking the time to say, hey, there's two gobblers right there.
Yeah. But
I don't know. I'm on somebody else's property, and I think my mindset was just, hey, let you know they're there, you know, kind of thing.
Yeah.
Anywho, I had a shot there. Now, when they made the turn and their backs were to me and they were heading up that little path, you never saw them, and I'm not real sure how you didn't, other than I have a theory. I didn't feel comfortable with it. I didn't feel like I had a good, clean shot. And yeah. he disagreed, and that's fine. There's no worries or concerns there other than I just didn't feel comfortable with the shot, so I didn't take it.
Yeah.
Now, I could have popped them. I felt better about when I first saw him instead of taking the time to point him out to him. But I knew he was recording, too. He was filming. So yeah. That was part of my mindset, too, is I want to let you know, hey, they're right there.
You shoot at that bird, and he's got it straight ahead looking for that other bird still.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that was part of it. But they made that turn and then went up that hillside and up into the, you know, and I think they ran that other bird off is what they did.
Mm-hmm.
And then we moved up. And we had another chance at those two birds. And so you have that little patch of trees and this little patch of trees. And this patch of trees over here had the cedar blind in
yeah.
that we hunted mm-hmm. out of. And then you had a little bit of a path right in the middle, right?
Yep.
So you were set up off to the right, and I was set kind of like right in the middle. So yeah. if they would have came to the right, you have a shot. If they come to the middle, I have one. I mean, the ultimate goal was to try to get them both at the same time. We could do a double, but
yeah.
didn't work out that way. Well, instead, what they did, they were coming to Tony's call, and he realized, and kudos to him, that I need to back out because they're just not wanting to. When he was right there with us,
yeah,
calling at them, they'd gobble, mm-hmm. but they're not moving in tight to us. He realized if he backs out and gets further behind us,
yeah,
it would move them towards us. So, tactfully sound, it was the right move. But what they did was they swung all the way out to my left, and there's a dip down there or a hillside.
Yep.
And they were on the bottom of that hillside. I couldn't see them. I could hear them gobbling.
No.
But couldn't see them for shit.
Nope.
So as they came along that tree line, they finally got into a little bit of it. It was right before that trail opened up, you know, where you have the path where they came in on yeah. earlier. I could see about 3 inches or so of both of their heads bobbing up and down as they got yeah. right before that path. I yeah. wasn't set up there. I didn't have my gun pointed there.
No.
You know, because I was waiting for them to come up that hill and on the end of that open field in front of me, and they didn't. They were going down that ledge, like I said. So when I finally saw their head bobbing up and down, I'm out of position. I don't, from your perspective, you can't see them at all, and
no.
I get that. And then I don't know what they caught. They caught a glimpse of something, whatever. I don't know, but they busted out of there just like that, and they were gone. So that kind of ended the Friday.
Yeah.
Saturday, we decided, I think it was your idea, actually, to kind of split and cover more ground. So I ended up going back to that same exact spot.
Yeah.
And you went with Shannon. Did you go back to those blinds? Is that where
we went back to those blinds, and then we drove around.
Okay. I ended up killing a turkey out of that cedar blind. Mm-hmm. So it's probably the same birds, if I had to guess, but I had three gobblers come in together. And it helped we had a live hen in our decoy. We had two hen decoys out there, mm-hmm. plus we had a live one out there. Mm-hmm. She was out there just hanging out. So moving around and pecking the ground. And they came in from that same damn area from back over our left shoulder. And at one point they were drumming, and they were, gosh, nine.
Probably within 10 feet.
Yeah, I mean, they were tight.
Yeah.
They were tight.
And from where you said they came in, I wasn't with you, but from where you said they came in, it was probably about 9 feet.
Yeah, and I was trying really hard because I didn't want to move, but I was trying really hard to see them out of my peripheral. And I kept waiting, and I can hear them, but I couldn't see them. But I knew they were right there. Mm-hmm. And I waited and I waited and I waited, and as they gradually moved a little bit closer and a little bit closer, then I started to see them out of my peripheral. So I had it without moving my head. I could at least rotate my eyes a little bit and see them, you know.
Yeah.
And I knew that they weren't spooked or anything. They were comfortable. They were just doing what turkeys do, which was good.
Being turkeys.
So as they moved in there a little bit, my gun was facing out towards the middle, like out towards where the decoys were at. And of course they're off to my left quarter here.
Yep.
But it got to, so I was watching them close enough and trying to watch them and watch the hen out in front of us at the same time to make sure that they either have their head down pecking or they're facing the opposite direction so that I can gradually move my shotgun to my left. And I did that and I got set up to a spot where I felt, hey, I've got a shot at one of these birds. If he presents it, I've got it. And Tony, called at one of them and got the front gobbler. He went into strut and he hung a right and he was heading straight towards the decoys.
Yeah.
Well, where I was at before, that was great, but I've moved now. I'm now over here.
Yeah.
And my concern, because you got that goofy slope.
Yeah,
that
hill, it dropped off quick.
And my concern is, are these birds going to lose interest and just keep working their way down that mm-hmm. hillside, and I'm going to miss out on this opportunity too. So the very second that, I don't know if it was the second bird or the third bird, I can't remember, but the very second that he popped his head up, bang, I just took it. I just went ahead and took it.
Yeah.
You know, and Tony made the comment, he's like, it'd have been cool if you'd have shot that strutter as he was coming across the middle. And I'm like, it would have been cool to shoot him in strut. But I took the shot that I knew I had right then.
Mm-hmm.
It turned out to be a pretty good bird, but took it. And then we went to that same exact spot again on Sunday with mm-hmm. you. And, man, there was nothing.
Nope, two Sunday, hens.
It just went silent. Two hens, yeah. It just went silent.
Yeah.
We weren't getting any noise, nothing.
Nope.
I don't know if it was the wind. I don't know if it was the cooler air. I don't know what the hell it was. But they shut down that day.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
that sums it up for me.
The synopsis is it's not for you.
I don't think so. No.
Okay.
Yeah. Maybe if I would have been able to get one in, you know, where I potentially thought, like, I honestly never felt once like, okay, I'm going to get a shot here. You know what I mean? When you get that feeling, I think that changes things. You know what I mean? Not just, you know, like, oh, I hear them, but when you're like, okay, it's coming this way.
They're in on you.
Yeah. It may have been different.
Yeah.
You know, if I would have seen one through the thing, even if it was the same situation with you where I didn't feel comfortable with the shot, but I knew, okay, I'm trigger pulling time.
Yeah.
You know, I was never even in take safety off time, you know, like, okay, you know, even though I did and Tony got angry, but that's just how I roll.
Well, so before the hunt that I killed the bird, when we first got there, there was two strutters and at least one, maybe two hens out there in that field. And we're back in that wood line,
mm-hmm.
which you and I spent some time back there.
Yeah.
We're back in that wood line and he hands me a fan for reaping, mm-hmm. a reaper fan. He's like, have you ever done this? And I said, no, I've never reaped a turkey. You know, I didn't feel comfortable with it at all.
Yeah.
But that's all right. You know, he's like, here's what you need to do. And he's telling me. And I'm like, I don't know. I'm not comfortable doing it, but I'll do it. You know,
yeah.
I personally prefer just to crawl up because I felt like I could have belly crawled like I was mm-hmm. going to do that one day. I could have belly crawled or whatever and got to that brush line. And I had to set myself up, I think, okay.
Yeah.
But I've never reaped. I'll try it. Whatever. So I'm working my way down the field with this turkey fan, and I noticed that there's two whitetails standing out there.
Yeah.
So I turned around, and the reason I did this, and he may have questioned it, and he hasn't said anything to me, but maybe he questioned it. I don't know. I turned around, and I gave him the notification, like I was trying to let him know there's two deer out there. Mm-hmm. And the reason I was doing that is because I've never reaped, and I didn't know if I spook those two deer, what effect is that going to have on these turkeys? Mm-hmm. That's why I was letting him know. So, Tony, if you wondered why I turned around and told you there's two deer out there in the field, that's why. Because I didn't know what kind of effect me doing what I'm doing will have on the turkeys if they bust out of there.
Yeah.
Which they did. They busted out of there. But those turkeys, they turned around and they went up that hillside on the far end of that field.
Yeah.
The opposite end of where we were at. They weren't spooked or anything. They just worked their way around there. And then I'm assuming they eventually worked their way all the way back full circle, and I ended up shooting one of them that way. But
yeah,
that's just a guess. I mean, I would imagine they were the same birds, but
possible,
maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So what I do know for certain is within the next couple of months, a lot of deer hunters, or at least diehard deer hunters, they're going to start building target lists. As antlers are starting to come in, velvet's starting to grow.
Mm-hmm.
We're probably going to see some deer on cameras, and we're going to be like, that has potential. That's a good deer.
Yep.
And you start building that mindset. My question is, can that mindset ruin your hunting season?
Huh.
When you do what I do, I'll be the first to take the lump here because I do it.
Yeah.
Oh, what a douche I am.
Yeah. When you get fixated on that deer.
That deer, yeah.
Yeah. I see it on camera. I'm like, look at that sucker. That's going to be a good deer. And then I just get fixated on it. And I will pass an opportunity to shoot one that's a decent one because I'm waiting on the one that's the good one.
I have to admit, I don't get that route. I mean, I that's not me. I wouldn't get fixated too much on one like you.
Yeah.
Where you would pass on one. If I think it's a shooter, I'm shooting it, whether I'm looking for King Kong. Now, if I already got one down, I'm one of them basic bitches, you know what I mean? Ugh, I was waiting for it. Damn it.
He said, you know what I mean.
I got to learn it. I know, but I thought maybe you'd add an extra, you know what I mean?
I put on there, he said, and that was you. Like it's a whole different he.
Yeah, different he.
Yeah.
But yeah, if I already have one down and I see one in a distance, then I may pass on a different one the second time. But if I have, you know, a decent one on camera and a nice one comes in and it's, you know, late October, early November, I'll absolutely shoot it and not pass on it. But later in the season, if I already got one down and I find one, I may find myself being more aware, you know, and pass on it and end up having to eat a tag.
Yeah.
But
well,
beginning of the year, I won't get too focused in on one.
Yeah. My dumb ass has ate too many tags because of that. Yeah. I get one on camera and I see it and I'm like, I just get fixated over it. And that's all I think about. I lay awake at night thinking about that deer. I'm like, where is he going to be? What's his pattern?
Yep.
And not to be overly repetitive, but we've talked about it many, many, many times that, you know, they don't live on me. I don't have large enough amount of land here. They don't live here. I'm a travel place. So I should know better. I should know that deer may or may not show his head here again, you know, but I still get fixated on it. And then I'll be sitting in my stand and have a good buck in bow range. And I'll be like, no, you're not that one.
You're not that guy.
And the next thing you know, you have tag soup.
A lot of tag soup.
Yeah. Which tastes pretty good. A little bit of salt. It's fine.
Salt makes everything better.
That's true. So does pepper. Pepper is my favorite condiment. All I know, it can lead to a lot of disappointment. I know that much.
Yeah. Yeah, no. Doing? Like I said, I forgot that my camera actually reset.
Oh.
And you were talking about deer. Todd sent a picture with the antler. He's got one, like, basically licking the freaking camera, but it's starting to bud.
Yeah.
So I was just like, oh, I forgot my camera reset the other day.
There you go.
So.
Yep. And I know that's not for everybody.
you hunt public land exclusively, you know, you're not running cameras probably, and it's not something that's
on your... If you are, you're brave.
In your wheelhouse or on your radar, you know, or you're putting them way up.
Yeah.
And I get that.
Yeah. No, like I said, I don't really get fixated in the beginning of the year. I mean, I've seen some on camera that I said, ooh, that's definitely a shooter. And something else will come in early in the season, and I'm going to pop it and then hope that that one's still
around, still in the market. Shows up.
Yeah. Now, yeah. When it comes down to the last tag, like I said, that may cost me to eat one tag there, but I definitely won't pass on the first one that I think's a shooter coming in.
The Backwoods Bowhunter Podcast is brought to you by RTS Outfitters, your specialty retail source for running, hiking, backpacking, and more. If you are a runner, walker, hiker, general outdoorsman, or just someone who is on your feet all day, RTS Outfitters offers the highest quality footwear, gear, and accessories to keep you moving forward. Visit them at one of their two retail locations in Marion, Illinois and Paducah, Kentucky, or online at rtsoutfitters.com.
There you have it. Yeah. Well, I'm just an idiot.
No, you're not. You're just selective, Tim. There's a difference. Well,
I don't know if it's selective or if it's just, it's fixation is what it is.
Yeah.
You know, I that's all I think about, you know, and I'll be watching TV at night and I'm thinking about where can I set up tomorrow that deer might be,
mm-hmm.
you know, and the chances are he may have rolled through here once and
never again.
That's it. Right. So the camera shot that I got of him is the one and only time he's been on this property.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. You know, maybe not, you know, but there's always that chance.
Yeah.
You know, and I get worked up over it.
Well, those two that I got at the end of the year that I hadn't seen on any other cameras, but we caught them at the end of the season when I put those cameras up, I had them all the way through till February. I caught them two different times. That one was pretty decent. I'd say he was probably low 140s last year, maybe upper 130s, low 140s, the one real wide one.
Yeah.
And I had him several times, so I'm hoping come
still around.
May, June, July, when they start to, you know, show that they're still in that same area, which would make me really happy.
Yeah.
A lot.
Absolutely. Hey, I was reading this study. I wanted to share this. Because we've talked about this before with CWD, chronic wasting disease, that they say scientifically chronic wasted disease deer will not transmit to a human. Well, here's what this study found. Two hunters died after consuming CWD infected venison. So CWD, chronic wasting disease, has been taking a toll across America, you know, since it was, I don't remember how many episodes ago we did a whole segment on CWD, but it was 1967, yeah. If my memory serves me right, in a private farm, a private ranch in Wyoming, where it was first detected, whatever. I may be off on both of those, but they've said forever that it's considered safe and legal for human consumption, and so these two hunters were hunting at the same lodge, and it didn't give a location and didn't tell hunters' names or anything like that. So There's a lot of unknowns, let's say that.
Okay.
But two hunters from the same lodge contracted CJD, which is known as Creutzfeldt-Jakob disease, or also known as mad cow disease. Both of them were exposed to CWD-infected deer that they ate. So they were suggesting that the prion transmission from the deer to humans can indeed happen. I get where they're coming from. So both of those diseases attack the brain. So the Creutzfeldt-Jakob disease for humans and chronic wasting for deer both attack the brain. Both of those guys hunted from the same lodge. Both of those guys ate venison from deer they harvested from that lodge, and both of those deer had chronic wasting disease. One of the patients died within a month of contracting. And like I said, both of them ate venison from that same population.
Hmm.
So irony, maybe, but man, the stars align there that says this could, could tie in together.
Different names, same type of disease.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's awful for both. But
yeah.
With that being said, like I said earlier, it didn't give a location. It didn't give their names. It didn't give their medical histories. It didn't none of that.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of unanswered shit, you know.
Yeah.
But
yeah, no, that's definitely.
Sounds like they're very similar.
It sounds like there's a lot of similarities there.
Yeah.
But now the thing is, you know, did they say that there was 10 hunters there or just those two?
They only referred to the two that died. So, yeah, I don't know.
That's what I'm saying. Was there 10 hunters that all ate that same harvest of deer that had chronic waste and only those two died?
Right. I would like to think that even if they weren't at the exact same time with these two guys, that there's been other hunters there that have harvested deer that have consumed said deer.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. To your point, you know, I get what you're saying. And I don't know. I found it interesting, but at the same time, I found it very ambiguous. There was just so much content that you don't have, you know, to really formulate anything. But
yeah,
it's nerve-wracking to think about because, I mean, we have chronic wasting disease everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah,
sometimes you don't know it, you know, because that deer hasn't shown the signs of it yet, maybe, you know, and that's the one that you're putting in your freezer.
Yeah.
And that's a little spooky.
Be nice if there's a little blood test, you know what I mean? You can get and dab it and it pop up positive or negative right off the bat. And that's why, you know, when you shoot that deer, you dab the blood, negative, let's go.
You know what one of the signs is?
When I pee, it glows. I ain't seen any glowing yet, so I've been pretty good so far.
So you're good. You haven't ate infected deer then?
Not yet. That I know of.
That's good.
It'd be kind of badass, too, if you did eat one that was, you know, infected and it gave you, like, some kind of superhuman power. That would be pretty cool, too.
Yeah. So what would your superhuman power be? What would you prefer? We talked about this at the Elks. My son asked me if I could have one, only one, superpower, what would it be?
I think mine would be flying.
Flying?
Yeah. That'd be pretty badass. I mean.
Yeah, I mean.
Be like, oh, I'd hate to go all the way over there. Oh, I'll just fly.
I'm a little bit jealous of, like, eagles and stuff because they have some pretty cool scenery from up there.
Yeah.
So I get that. When he asked me the question, he's like, what would your superpower be? And I said, I want to be able to see people through people's clothes because I want to see titties.
Oh, shit. I didn't think about that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he's like, Dad, seriously? And I go, you asked, man. I'm just letting you know.
Yeah.
Just letting you know.
Yeah. That's not a bad one.
But
I may give up the flying for that.
It's embarrassing.
But I want to have the ability to shut it off, though, because there are some people I don't want to necessarily see them bags, you know. So
not only that, but you'd also see a lot of wieners.
That's well, that too.
Yeah.
Yeah. See, that's a whole extra level there.
Yeah.
So maybe I'd be like a white belt where I can only see some.
Or maybe it's where, like, you have to, like, focus kind of like, you know, like Superman when he does his, like,
yeah,
when he burns holes and stuff,
put
he like focuses, and then it happens.
Right?
Maybe that's when you get
extra put extra vision. Effort.
Girls would look at you funny, look like you're shitting your pants.
Right?
But you'd be like, "Hey, you could think I'm shitting my pants, but I'm currently staring at your titties." So who cares?
I see your areolas.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's mine. That's what I want.
Oof. I'd probably still fly.
Yeah.
Because think about it, you could run up and grab them titties and fly away, not get caught.
Yeah. That's true.
I could tell you, find me a good pair, Tim. You find me a good pair, I run up, grab them, and I fly away.
So we'd be a team.
And then I could tell you about it later.
Right.
Like, they were very soft, they were fake.
So I'm doing the work, and you're running off with it, is what you're saying.
Basically, yeah.
Mm. Mm-hmm. See, that could work against you.
Yeah.
Because I'd be like, hey, right there.
Yeah.
You're 1 o'clock, right there.
I'd run up and grab it. And
then you fly off, and you're like, what the?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It might damper our friendship. Let's not work as a team on this.
Okay. All right. We'll supplement our own superpowers in different ways.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, where the hell was I at? You got to get dialed in?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, it's a deep burn. Oh, it's so deep. Ah.
Oh, I could barely lift my right arm because I did so many. I don't know if you heard me counting. I did over 1,000. You have your ubulus muscle that connects to the upper dorsimus.
That never gets old, in my opinion.
No.
Oh, Get Dialed In is brought to you by Titan Nutrition. You can go to titannutrition.net, use discount code
Backwoods
for 10% off and free shipping. Dial them in.
Yeah. My main thing today is staying focused in the gym. Like, I was thinking about it today when I was driving, because I don't know why.
Your balls are showing.
They were showing.
Yeah.
At that time.
That's why you got to be focused.
At that time, they were showing. Yeah. But I was driving, and I was just thinking about, man, I started working out when I was 14, 15, 16, somewhere in that area, like, where I started taking it serious. And I kept thinking that every time I got to that point where people would be like, man, you're looking good, you're getting big, I'd stop working out. Because it's like, psh, I'm big. What do I need to keep doing this for? And then 6-7 months later, I'm like, man, I haven't heard that in a long time. And then I look in the mirror, and I'm like, oh, that's why. Because I'm not looking like that anymore. And I thought, what if I would have stayed from that point to this point? Where would I be? What's the potential? And not everybody wants to be like jacked, Mike. And you know,
everybody wants to be like Mike.
Yeah, well, yeah, that's, nobody wants to be like Mike. Ever since Jordan left, it's just been me, and it's not.
You're trying to carry the torch.
I'm trying, but it's
the cross
just not
you have
working.
To bear.
Yeah, it's just not working.
Yeah.
Hey,
it's hard.
But I think the main thing is like staying focused when you're in the gym. Like when you're going and you hear those compliments, is not take it and say, psh, I've hit my goal. If it's a fact that you don't want to get big, lower the weights down. You know, just do higher reps to get leaned up or cut up instead of continually growing. Because you can work out and not put on size. You know, you could just work out to where you lean up, cut up a little bit, but just stay focused on your goal. If your goal is to get jacked, don't let anything get in the way of that. If your goal is to get leaned up, don't let anything get in the way of that. You have to focus and follow through.
I'm your huckleberry.
Damn right you are.
I got a question for you.
What you
since
got?
We're on the topic. You were showing us the video where you were doing 315 and on the bench.
Yeah.
Yeah. And most guys that I know that I've seen do it, they'll do a rep, which is what you did, was a rep. What is your benefit from that? So I don't, for example, I don't max out on my bench.
Yeah.
Ever. I go up to what I can do 10 or 12 reps on.
Yeah.
And that's all I do. I don't try to go beyond that. I don't even know what my max bench would be. But are you gaining anything by doing one rep at 315 versus doing 10 reps of 225?
No.
Just throwing out an arbitrary number.
It's just a mental thing. I just wanted to see where I was.
Okay.
Because I haven't tried it since I was like 40, 41. And the last time, the highest I ever got was 350. The last time I did it was 330, which was like 41, 42, somewhere in there. I did that. They had a bench press competition to raise money for a guy who was sick from the gym. So I entered, joined, and did that, and I did 330. So I just thought, hey, I'm almost 50. What can I bench?
So it's not you specifically. I'm talking about everybody. But so it's not necessarily a gain benefit as far as like building.
Yeah.
It's more of just testing your ability.
It's just seeing where I'm at.
Okay.
Like, I don't understand pyramid workout. Like, I watch a lot of guys who will do like 10, 8, 6, 4, 2 type deal. And I don't understand that. I mean, maybe that's for building strength, you know, because you're putting that heavy weight on. But at my age, my shoulders, my back, if I go, like right now, I'm doing 3 sets at 205 is where I'm at.
Yeah.
And me and you How talked about 10 this or 12 a few weeks ago. So I do 10. I do 3 sets of 10.
Yeah.
And right now, when I'm hitting that last third set on 8, 9, and 10, it's a struggle. Okay? I mean, it's getting there. When I do it comfortably, I'll throw a 2.5 on each side, and I'll go to
you know, I'll go to 210. But with the pyramid workout, I would assume that's just for power lifting, you know, because you're getting that, that heavy weight and you're hitting it twice. I've never really been worried about power lifting. I've always just been worried about, like, my personal size, you know, like building muscle. And I don't know if when you're powerlifting, if that's a muscle building deal, you know, that 8-6-4-2 whatever set that they do. Because they'll do, like, you know, they'll add a little bit of weight and then they'll do 6. Then they'll add a little bit more weight and then they'll do 4. So I don't know. I'm assuming that's just to build your power. I don't know if there's a size gain to that, because to me, the more reps you're doing, the more muscle you're tearing, you know what I mean? As opposed to doing that one rep of a heavy weight, yeah, I believe you're still going to, you know, tear muscle with one, but I believe if you're doing it 10 times and you're pushing it, I think you're going to get a, you know, like I said, I'm not a professional bodybuilder or a personal trainer, but that's just the way I was taught by a guy who was pretty freaking massive back in the day.
Yeah.
You know,
I'm just curious. There's a guy that goes to the hub that when I go there and I'll see him in there, and when he does his chest day, he'll do sets, you know, at whatever weight.
Yeah.
But then he'll ultimately do 315 once. I'm like, okay, why?
Yeah. You know,
and not that I'm criticizing why, I want to know why.
Yeah,
you know,
why?
Or is there a reason for that? You know, are you gaining anything by doing your max rep once? Because if so, I'll do my max rep once. You know,
if there's a gain to it.
I don't know. You know, I feel like I get more out of it. I get more of the burn effect if I do my 10 or 12 reps of whatever weight I'm doing. So
yeah, I tried 300 a couple weeks ago and it was fairly easy. So I'm like, well, I'll just jump up to 315. And it wasn't very easy.
Yeah,
I got it, but it was everything I had in me.
It don't take a whole lot of weight to make a big difference.
No, and that's what I thought. I
don't take much at all.
My goal was to go to 325, and I said, well, let's just go to 315, and I'm glad I did. 325 probably would have landed on my chest.
My wife was benching the bar.
Yeah.
Okay, just the bar. And she seemed as though she was okay with it comfortably, so I said, let's do this. Let's put 2.5s on each side.
Mm-hmm.
So all I'm adding is 5 pounds to the bar.
Yeah.
And she's like, nope, she did it. And she's like, nope, take them off. I said, did that make that much of a difference? She's like, yes, it did. Okay. Yeah. Off they came, you know, yeah. But I'm like, just adding 5 pounds.
Yeah.
You know? You wouldn't think it would be that big of a deal. But
no. Uh-uh. No, like I said, I'm glad I just went to the 315, not the 325, because I would have epically failed that, I believe.
Yeah. Yeah, mm-hmm. For sure. All right. Shooter, let it walk. How about I do two? You said you have one.
I have a dry fire, no shooter, let it walk.
Oh, I thought you said earlier you had one. Okay.
No.
All right. Well, shooter, let it walk. And I know the answer to this already. Mike will turkey hunt again.
I'm probably going to let that walk.
Yeah, I think I'm going to let it walk too now, you know, officially.
Yeah.
All right. My theory. We'll come back to my theory. Why, because there was a couple of times where you said, I never even saw those birds. And I was like, in my mind, I didn't say it out loud, but in my mind, I'm like, how the hell did you not see those? Does Mike need his eyes checked?
No, I saw the two heads pop up and take off. I saw them when I didn't see the heads pop up. I saw them as soon as they started to, but it was also way to my left and down the hill. So where I was at, it kind of went up and then down. So where you were at, you were already a little bit higher than me.
Okay, so let me explain my theory here. It's been 21-ish years ago. Mary and I, we weren't even married. Mary and I were going on a little road trip, and we went up to the Adirondack Mountains in northern New York. Beautiful, beautiful part of this country, by the way. When you think of New York, most people think city atmosphere, right?
Uh-huh.
Well, the Adirondacks are amazing. So anyway, we're traveling there, and we're going down the highway, and I'm struggling to read highway signs, looking for exits or gas stations or food sources or whatever on these highway signs.
Yeah.
And she's like, you can't see that? She's like, it says this clearly. And I'm like, no, I can't see it. So she's like, when we get home, you need to go see an eye doctor. So we got home and I go to the eye doctor and he's like, yeah, you need corrected vision. And I end up wearing contacts. And then I started seeing shades of green and other things that I didn't realize existed.
Yeah.
So fast forward to a couple weekends ago, you were doing the same thing. We're going down the highway looking for an Arby's, and you were like, I can't see that far. And I was reading. When you were saying, I can't see that far, I was able to read them.
Yeah.
And we would get really, really close to them before you were like, yeah, there's a Casey's there, or a Arby's, or whatever.
Uh-huh. That aspect, that's been that way. I was told I needed glasses in sixth grade.
Okay.
Or fifth grade. And both my brothers were. Now, let me tell you something. I did not wear mine. Both my brothers did.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, none of us were blind to where we were walking into walls or couldn't read a book in front of us.
I'm not either. Mine's a really slight correction. But
yeah. And so I never wore my glasses. Both my brothers did. To this day now, if my brothers take their glasses off, they will walk into walls. They're blind. Because over the years, their prescription got stronger and stronger and stronger and stronger because their eyes had a strain through that for all those years. So now if they take their glasses off, they walk into walls. Mine, I feel, is the same as it was back then.
I'm a good-looking son of a bitch. Why ruin it?
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
Damn right. You know, I know what you mean. But yeah, and to the point of that second, the first set of birds that came out to your left, when we set up, you set up right there on that trail. You were like one tree off the trail. I was three trees down that ridge. I couldn't even see the trail from down there. When I stood up, I could see the trail. Down there, the trail was, you know, from where I was sitting was 4 or 5 feet over my head from my sitting position. Plus all the different trees in between. You know what I mean? Like I said, you were one tree off that path that led back there. So you could pretty much see down that path. I had to go down the hill three trees so that we had space in between us, and I couldn't see shit.
Okay, so sure to let it walk. You need corrected vision.
Oh, I do.
Oh, okay.
But I don't think that had anything to do with not all right. seeing those birds.
Okay, so you're blowing a hole in my theory here.
Yeah.
For the record, my eye test back then, my prescription actually is the exact same today that it was then.
Is it?
Mine has never changed.
Yeah. See, both of them, they're blind if they take their glasses off. I mean, they literally can't walk from one room to the next.
Yeah.
It's that bad.
Yeah. My mom's that way, which is where I'm sure I get mine because my dad doesn't have corrected vision. But
yeah,
for whatever reason, in 21 years, mine has never changed. I'm the same today as it was then.
Yeah. Well, hell, how far is that redneck blind back there where all those deer, when we come out here, are sitting out there?
Oh, shoot, a couple hundred yards, probably.
I can see deer out there when we look out this window.
Yeah.
I couldn't tell you if it's a buck or a doe, but I could tell you it's a deer.
Right.
So, I mean, I can see that well. I just can't see, like, little print on a sign, something like that. So, I mean, I could see a bird or a deer or something like that. I just can't read a road sign until...
You're damn near on top of it.
Yeah. And then it comes right into light for me.
You're really close. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just brought that up because that is exactly what led me to go get my eyes tested, was I was having the same thing.
Yeah.
I couldn't read those road signs until I was where you were at.
Yeah.
Able to read them.
Close.
And she was criticizing me, and she's like, you're going to go need to get your eyes checked. And I was like, my eyes are fine.
Yeah.
You know, and then I went to the eye doctor, and he's like, your eyes aren't fine. Of course it's not.
And I did. I did go get glasses a few years ago because I thought when I was still shooting right-handed, remember I told you the reason I switched from a right-hand bow to a left-hand bow is because it was dusk. When I closed the left eye, my right eye vision's real bad. There's actually something, there's like a growth in that eye that was there years ago. Now
that's gonorrhea.
It could be. But nowadays, there may be something they can do. Back then, when I went and got this eye vision test, there was nothing they can do with that. So even if I put glasses on and I close my left eye, that right eye is still going to be blurry because that growth is inside the eye. I mean, obviously it hasn't got worse because I'm not blind out of it, and it's been 40-something years since I decided not to wear glasses. But I mean, today there may be something like, oh, we can go in there and just with a laser and that'd be gone. Yeah, it's possible. But the last time I went and got glasses was when I did that. And that's when I realized that, hey, when I still close this damn left eye, I still can't see shit, even with glasses. So that's when I went to a right-handed or a left-handed bow, and out of my right eye, no haze.
There you go.
So there we are.
Shooter, let it walk. Does camo matter for turkey hunting? And let me give a little bit of a detail before you answer that. So, again, Mr. Tony Dempsey, we're going to disagree. We've already had that. We've hashed that out a little bit on a text message. Remind me of something later in reference to that. But
okay.
Growing up in my ute, there was a Baptist church that I went to at the time, and Pastor Randy was a big time turkey hunter, and he was from Arkansas. So being the fact that I am too, you know,
yeah.
at least my family is, we kind of connected a little bit, and he was a big turkey hunter. He'd go back to Arkansas and turkey hunt every year. And he once told me, he said, do not worry about your camo. Don't worry about what you wear. There's three rules to turkey hunting. Rule one is don't move. Rule two is don't move. And rule three is don't even think about moving.
Yeah.
He's like, you wear whatever the hell you want. Just don't move.
Yeah.
And I followed that advice, and I've never had issues with ever getting busted other than if I move.
If you move.
If I move. Now, I'm not saying go out there and wear, you know, some neon blue sign around your chest or anything. I'm not saying that. But does camo matter when it comes to turkey hunting? I don't know if I've answered any of these shooter let it walks. Will you turkey hunt again? I'm going to let it walk. Do you need your eyes checked? I'm going to shoot it. Does camo matter? I'm letting it walk.
Yeah. I feel.
Does movement matter? I'll shoot it.
100%. I'll shoot the hell out of that. I feel the same way, like with deer hunting. I'll wear what I'm comfortable in. Okay. I've got, you know, a couple full suits. I've never really went out and bought full suits until that WTF, which, by the way, I was going to ask Shannon and Tony if they could check their trucks because I think I'm missing my gloves.
Oh, no.
Yeah. I can't find them. But it was the gloves and I think my shooting sticks. I don't know if I got to double check on those, but the shooting sticks and my gloves.
I may be wrong, but I thought I saw your shooting sticks when we were unloading the truck at your house when we came back.
We may have. I know
I can't answer the gloves.
I know the gloves are missing, definitely, because I checked all the pockets where I put them in.
Yeah.
But they could have very easily rolled off the top of that bag and underneath that couch or whatever. But I think maybe when I was in Tony's shed changing,
yeah,
or when I put the clothes in his truck, that it might have fell off there. Yeah. So I just asked them to check that. But
possibly. I just seem to remember seeing your shooting stick. Now, I can't remember if I saw it when we were unloading stuff at our little cabin or if I saw it when we were unloading stuff at your house.
Yeah.
But I wanted to say it was at your house.
And those are easy to verify when I get home. But with the camo, I felt like when I first started hunting, like everyone, you know, like, oh, this. I hardly ever match when I go out. I dress comfortable. So if it's cold, my coat, I did not buy bottoms for. So if I have to put that coat on, I'm going to have two different patterns on top and bottom. And I don't think it affects me as much as me trying to move into a different position.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And I feel the same way with the bird thing. If they're walking up on you, that's like saying if a piece of debris falls in a field, that turkey's never going to go in that field because that piece of debris is a different color than the rest of the woods that are surrounding that, you know, that piece of debris. And I don't believe in that. You know what I mean? Just like the whole hat thing. I don't think any of that truly matters if you're not moving. Can they pick you out? They might, but if you don't move, they don't know no difference. That's like if he puts that bale of, you know, a blind up. That doesn't exactly match the background. So that turkey should never come in that field because that's going to throw them off. But that doesn't. That doesn't change their pattern one bit. It may the first day or two, but every one of their blinds that he has, he said he's got turkey all around him. You put a blind up for deer, there's deer all around it. I believe it's all about the movement. And I think, like I said, I'm not a turkey hunter. Probably never will be. But I don't think that what you all wear, right, as long as it's not, you know, flashing, you know, I think you're golden. I think you're going to stick out maybe, and it may recognize you, but I don't see it being a different. Like I said, if a bag blows into a field, is a turkey never going to hit that field because there's a bag out there and it's suspicious? No. I think that turkey's still going to come out there.
All right, I got two more.
Okay.
Hunting one target buck. Going back to where we started here.
Yeah.
Hunting one target buck can ruin your entire season. Shoot or let it walk.
I would definitely shoot that.
Yep.
Yeah.
Me too.
Shoot. That's why I don't let it happen.
One more, and I'll have to back the mic off a little bit. So I've been working on a brand new turkey call.
Oh, boy.
Now, it's not as good as yours.
Well, that's, I mean.
Goes without saying. I shouldn't have even said that. I mean.
Primos has called me to ask to take it.
Did they?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you just go into it knowing I'm not going to be able to call like you call.
Yeah. Okay.
But I want you to hear it, and you give me your opinion on what you think, okay?
Okay.
I'm going to back the mic off so I don't blow everybody's eardrums out.
Okay.
All right.
That's probably for the best.
This is my hen call, Eastern Wild Turkey.
Okay.
What do you think?
Sound like a turkey to me.
You good with it?
Yeah. Yeah, that's a winner.
Okay.
Yeah.
So we're shooting that.
I'm shooting the hell out of it. Yeah. I bet Tony doesn't.
Why?
Tony let that walk. I guarantee it.
What was wrong with that?
Tony's very picky.
Because it didn't sound like this?
Yeah.
Was that why?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know. Not everybody can do what I can do.
No. No. Me and you've got special abilities in calling birds. And I'm still a little pissed that Tony wouldn't let me go to mine when apparently the last day his wasn't working. He should have let me give a couple, but he was paranoid.
Hey, you know.
And I don't blame him. We're on his home turf.
That's right.
And if his calling wasn't bringing me a bird and mine did, he probably wouldn't want to talk to us anymore. He'd be shattered. And I wouldn't want to do that to Tony. I like Tony.
Yeah. I mean, how can you not?
Hey, I did enjoy the bonding that the four of us did get.
We had a good time.
You know, we had fun. Yeah,
absolutely.
So
we ate some good food.
Oh, that damn burrito. I have not stopped thinking of that thing.
I remember when Mr. Dempsey said he has never seen anybody eat a complete, Arnesto? Was that the name?
Arnesto.
Yeah. Nobody has ever ate, he's never seen anybody eat the complete Arnesto burrito. Mm-hmm. And not only did you do it, but I did it, and so did he.
Yeah.
We all three.
I may have broke a record with that thing.
Yeah.
When they first brought it, I said, oh, shit, with the way I've been eating, 4 or 5 ounces at a time.
It was so good, though.
I said, man, this is huge. I took that first bite. I looked at you and Tony. I said, I'm going to crush this thing. Tony's like, no, no way. Not a chance. Oh, but you don't understand.
Contraire, mon frere.
Contraire, mon frere, for sure.
That was so good.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that red sauce and the shrimp. Oh, man.
Jeez, that sauce they had on there. I got to find out what that is because that with the shrimp. Oh, my gosh.
And the pizza. How legit was the pizza that we had?
Yeah.
Hometown pizza.
Yeah.
If you're ever in Owen County.
Hometown pizza is the place to go.
Owenton, to be exact. Go to Hometown Pizza.
Yes.
Because that's a legit pizza.
And let me tell you.
Man, it was so good.
Me and Tim, we get there and we say, okay, what's equivalent to like an individual? She's like, a medium. We're like, well, why get a medium? The individuals were cheaper. Right. So we order 2 individual pizzas, one for him, one for me. They bring them. We take one bite of said pizza. Tim looks at me and says, are you opposed to us getting another one?
We're going to need another one.
I said, I am absolutely not. So
some folks have asked me, if you had it to do over again, would you do it the same way? I reckon I would.
We're talking, if that's what you're asking. Yeah.
Yeah. we are absolutely going to do that again if it was opportunity was there.
100%.
And this time we ain't even just order an individual. We're just going to get the biggest size they have.
Yeah.
Of the deep dish. Because that was definitely way better than the thin crust.
Absolutely. Yeah. I'm not opposed to the thin crust either, but.
No. No, neither was I.
Yeah. No, legit.
Yeah. Largest size they have, and we'll just eat until we throw up. And then go get an Ernesto the same night. Yeah, that was our mistake.
It was that night, wasn't it?
And we still put it down.
Oh, man.
After putting down three pizzas and then an Ernesto that night.
It was the same night. I completely forgot.
Yeah.
Dry fire?
Just these damn gas prices.
Well, I got to hit the button. I was asking if you're ready for it.
Oh, yeah, I'm ready.
Okay.
I've been hornswoggled.
Now you can go, and I'm apparently going to have to take a break because she's like itching to talk to me about something. So
okay.
I'll let you do your thing.
Okay. Yeah. No, we're golden. It's the gas prices. They just keep hopping up and down. Right before the eclipse, they were at like 350 something, low 360s. The eclipse comes flying in, and they jump up to almost 390 a gallon. And then as the eclipse crowd leaves town, it starts dropping down little by little by little. I drive by this morning, 389 again. Why can we not just keep a set price on gas for more than a flipping week? Every time you drive past a gas station, like when they drop it, they drop it 2-3 cents at a time, 2-3 cents, 2-3 cents. When they raise it, they crash that sumbitch up 30 cents, 40 cents a gallon, and then it takes you 2 months to get it back down to where it was, and then something comes up, whether it's a holiday weekend where they know people are going to be traveling, and then it shoots straight back up. I feel like these people that are in charge of the gas stations or the gas companies need to come out and say, hey, here's why there was a 30 cent increase last night. Not just wait till we drive up to the gas station and have to see it for ourselves. I just think that someone needs to be responsible for gas prices jumping, and they need to come out and tell us why the hell they jump so high.
Sorry.
That's all I got.
I heard you through the window, by the way. Sorry I wasn't here to listen.
No, you're fine.
All of that was because she wanted to show me her hair. She just got her hair did.
Oh, fabulous.
And obviously you have to interrupt the podcast.
To show the hair. Show,
because, you know, in 15 minutes I won't be able to see it, you know, so you got to do it right now.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Oh, my goodness.
Well, it looked great, if it's any consolation.
Yeah, but it's a big deal.
Whatever. I think they're still going to go higher.
Yeah. It's insane. Like when they drop, it's a penny, 2 pennies, 3 pennies. When they raise it, boom, 30 cents, 25 cents. And no one has to say a word for it. No one has to come out and be like, hey, listen, this is why we did it. Hey, you know, we're gouging you. No, just raise it.
Yeah, so what dry fires my bow is I was on the phone when you got here trying to take care of this, and it's at my place of business, my telephone and internet service. So it's usually around $150 to $155 bucks a month for both phone and internet. And this month's bill was $230.
It's a big jump.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, why did we jump up $70?
Did you order anything off porn sites or anything?
Nope.
Okay, no, fair enough.
Maybe through my home internet, but I didn't do the business.
Okay, fair enough.
Yeah. So
good call.
I call them, and of course you're on hold. You know, we are experiencing an extremely high call volume right now.
Of course they are. Yeah, yeah.
Naturally.
Uh-huh.
Which means you have like two people answering phones probably. So I thought I'll stay on this line until you pull in. Well, you pulled in. I'm still on hold.
Mm-hmm.
And it was about the time I was telling you that I'm going to hang up, the dude jumps on there and answers.
Yeah.
I'm like, all right. So I get on there, and I'm telling him what's going on. And here's what he tells me. He's like, sounds to me like your promotional
pricing.
Whatever, yeah. We'll go with that. Has expired. And I said, I've been with y'all for 6 years.
That's usually a hell of a promotion.
Usually when it's promotional, it's 6 months.
I was going to say, a six-year promotional.
Maybe 12 months. Maybe. 6 years?
Yeah.
He's like, well, let me look up your account, you know. So I give him my information, of course. Uh-huh. And he pulls up on there, and he's like, yeah, it looks to me like your promotional pricing has expired. So he's like, what we can probably do is I can transfer you over to the whomever department.
Yeah.
And see if we can't get you back on that same plan that you were on before.
That would have been nice.
Like, okay. I mean, I didn't ask to come off of this plan.
No.
I mean, mm-mm. So he transfers me, and I was on hold for another. I told you I was going to let it go until 5:10 or whatever it was.
Yeah.
And I said, if nobody answers, I'm going to hang up. And that was 10 or 12 minutes of being on hold. And, uh-huh, of course, nobody answered, so I hung up.
Yeah.
That just pisses me off.
And you can't understand a damn word they say.
I could him. Now, he had a little bit of a dialect there, but I could communicate with him, let's say that. Sometimes you're just like, what?
Funny story. I ordered ESPN the other day for the draft. So when I went on the ESPN app, it said, which TV provider do you have? So you have to have another system to use the ESPN app that you're paying $10 a month for.
Right.
So I said, well, that's bullshit. So I called to cancel the ESPN app. So I had to call Roku TV, and they were going to cancel it for me. Well, this guy's like, well, you know, just hit this button on your phone. I don't have that button on my remote. I have a universal remote that I had to buy because my son or my grandson, we think, threw away our remote. So I don't have that remote. So then I get to this location. He's like, okay, he's trying to tell me, let me say it before I get into it, hit the about. Okay. The about line, go to the about line and click on about. He says, go to about. He says, go to about. And I said, where? Go to about. And Jimmy was sitting right across from me. I said, what the hell is a boot? And then I start looking at the menu.
Then they
and
get
I'm,
aggravated.
Yes. Oh yeah. He was getting pissed at me.
Yeah.
Like I was making fun of him. I'm sorry that you took this job for 13 cents an hour over in your country, but in my country, it's about, not a boot. But it was the way he was saying it, because he's like, go to boot. And I'm looking for like a boot, you know, like something where you boot it up, like loading. And I'm reading, I'm like, I don't see anything with boot. And then I saw about. I said, about? Yes, a boot. Holy shit. So we finally got to it. I got to a boot and canceled it. But yeah, all that just because his about and my about were not even in the same realm.
Oh, yeah. I think we've all, including every listener that listens to this show, we've all been there on that one.
Mm-hmm. And we were talking 20 years ago, you got picked, you know, answered right away.
Yeah, the call center in Marion, Illinois would pick up your call, you know.
And you'd never got really put on hold unless it was a legit, hey, we got to look up this account, let me put you on hold for a minute. You were on hold for 30 seconds to a minute. Now these assholes put you on hold for 20, 30, 40 minutes. Oh. You cannot tell me that there's that much business going on.
Yeah, so my entire call was uh, 30 minutes on the nose, and I talked to that guy for about three.
Yeah, just to find out that your promotional your promotional has expired.
After 6 years, it finally expired.
Yep. That's about the time limit on most promotions that they offer.
Yeah.
Six years. I mean,
that's pretty normal. Yeah.
Yeah.
Somewhere. I don't know where. But. Yeah. Well, that's what dry fires my bow.
I'm fine now.
Cool.
Yeah.
Hey, you can contact us via email at backwoodsbowhunterpodcast@gmail.com.
.com.
Will you be here next week?
Yeah.
Next week's the golf thing, though, right?
Yeah, I should be. He's teeing off at 9:20 in the morning.
Oh, hell. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm not going to work. I've already told him.
What he's shooting, he'll be here. Or he'll be done by 11. He'll
be done by 10:30.
Yeah.
I'll be all right. Well, they're doing 18 this time, though.
Oh.
Okay. The qualifying.
So he's going to go to one.
Regionals was 9 holes. This is 18.
Gotcha.
So, but he is teeing off like an hour earlier, so I'm hoping we're done by 1:30.
And just at Wren Lake, so you're not that
just
far.
Just at Wren Lake, no.
Yeah. You're not far.
Nope.
All right, then.
Yeah.
If you have a couple minutes, take time, leave us a review.
Yeah, we would appreciate it.
There you go.
Even if it's a shitty one, we don't care.
No, not at all. And grab your bow and get after it.
Get your kids out.
Thanks for listening to another Backwoods Bowhunter episode. Didn't get enough? Climb down out of your tree stand and get ready for another epic episode next week. The Backwoods Boys will take you back downrange for more bow hunting content.